This is a question from Kathy, who asks, a recent study by UTMSI indicates red tide is associated with higher salinity levels. How will water quality be monitored at discharge points and surrounding areas?
We have a system that we use, and it's common industries use it too. They call it instrumentation and electronics. It's SCADA, and it's supervisory control and
data acquisition, I believe.
Acquisition. Yeah, yeah, but it's that's so that the monitors can really, the operators, the treatment plant operators can see what's going on throughout the plant and throughout the distribution system. And so if they see something that's off, they have, it controls the system too, so they could shut things off too. And since we're with a desalination plant and our regular surface water conventional treatment plant, we're diversified. And so if we're having issues, if there's something going on with red tide and we just want to shut down that plant, we can ramp up the production, pulling it from the Nueces River and Mary Roads pipeline with our surface water and use that for the time being until the dilemma goes away, and then restart the plant.
And these algal blooms are certainly a part of the conversation. We know it's something that happens periodically in the coastal bend, and there's potential impacts on the discharge side, but also the intake side, because it affects the water quality of the water that we bring into the process. But even outside of what Mr. Norton talked about on SCADA and instrumentation and being able to monitor the water that goes out, the state has had surface water quality monitoring stations in the bay for probably close to 50 years, at least 40 years. And so we've looked at about 40 years of data, historical data on salinity levels and things, and that is part of what feeds into the modeling that we're doing. So there's surface water quality monitoring stations all across the bay, and those will certainly be monitoring both short-term and long-term potential impacts to salinity.
And I'm sure what she was getting at was, would brine discharge, raising the salinity of the bay, if it could do that, would that increase harmful algal blooms? And Jason, I think, hit it exactly right. We have one of our chairs, Dr. Mike Wetz, has actually put together a plan to begin to monitor harmful algal blooms, because they are increasing for many, many reasons along our coast. We want to make sure we understand those. And so, as Jason said, you obviously have to monitor that, but there are systems out there that can collect that data and information and go forward with it. But that's a very interesting question and one that we need to look at.
Okay. This is a two-parter here. During at last night's mayoral debate, or it says here, it was suggested by one of the candidates desalination would have far worse negative results than the benefits of an unlimited water supply, including caustic byproducts, which will have major human health implications, major impact on our bays and estuaries, and catastrophic loss of marine life, which will affect our tourism, another factor for coming and visiting here. One, what are the facts and science as we know them at this time? Two, disposal of the brackish water. How do we do that? Is all of this, he says, it was proposed several years ago, the naturally occurring aquifers on the island, which are currently filled with brackish seawater, could be used as holding facilities for processed fresh water, thus eliminating the need for large above-ground holding tanks, which would be threatened by hurricanes. Is all of this still a viable consideration? And there's a gentleman named Bill sent that in to us. Anyone want to take that one on?
Well, if we had another hour, I think we could probably get into that.
That's an all-day symposium.
That is. There
we'll
is,
order lunch now.
There is a lot there.
Good question. They're all good questions, but it's a lot.
They are. So maybe to try to keep this a little bit more succinct, Mr. Zanoni mentioned there are thousands of desalination plants around the globe. So the technology and how you handle the waste streams is well understood. We know that we have a unique ecosystem here, and that has to be considered. So there's two waste streams that we talk about primarily. One we call residuals, and that's what we remove from the seawater that never goes back in. That's silt and sediment, total suspended solids. We also have the benefit of removing some metals. So we've looked at a lot of data from the Tampa Bay plant in Florida to understand how their process removes zinc and copper, which are very critical contaminants, we understand, on the Inner Harbor. There's a TMDL for those on the Inner Harbor, and also Nueces Bay is very sensitive to those. So we understand the way that our process will actually be able to remove and dispose of those so they won't go back into the environment. at a relatively high level. Not 100%, but we do get to remove some of those contaminants. The water waste stream that goes back into the bay is really pretty clean. I mean, I know this isn't TV, but it's as clear as the water in my water bottle here, my Camelback. It's just saltier than the water that we bring in. So that waste stream is also well understood. The modeling and the salinity tolerances that we do on the diffusion for different marine organisms, we've involved a lot of, you know, I have the benefit of being the one here in the studio and in this seat, but I've got just an incredible team that I work with aquatic ecologists and environmental scientists and others who understand a lot better than I do the salinity tolerances of every stage of life for the marine organisms in the bay. And then Dr. McKinney has an incredible staff with world-renowned expertise here on the Gulf ecosystem as well. So on the point of storage in aquifers, I don't know how that applies specifically to the city's initiative. That's something that I would have to look into, maybe get some clarification from the gentleman that asked the question.
Okay. Very good. Anything else we'd like to talk about the desalination we'd like to add before we depart this morning?
No, maybe just to recap, and I was thinking about it last night. So the desalinization question really is about, the issue really is about water for the community. That's simple. More water. We need more water. And then a secure water source as well. So as Dr. McKinney mentioned, we can divert water from rivers. That has an environmental impact. We can divert waters from lakes, but even those sources of water are interruptible. If we have a drought, which we know we're going to have more of based on scientists' analysis. So this makes it an attractive choice, being able to use water that's right here in our backyard, the seawater. And desalinization technology and cost have improved, as we've talked about in this show. And this will help Corpus Christi really become that city that everybody wants it to become in the future. We're a great city today, but we want to continue to grow, and we want the region to grow. And so to be able to do that, as we talked about this morning, those Texas cities that have grown over the decades, they have grown because they have water. And we're right there with our water sources. But to be able to continue to grow, we need more water. And really, that's what the issue is. So it's not really about destroying the environment or using some technology that's foreign and we've never done this before. It's about, let's move forward, Corpus Christi, and let's secure some water, and let's use a highly innovative source to do so, and let's put ourselves on the map. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity. I think this is what this station is all about, is getting information out like this, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on with these folks, and because, like we say, everyone is entitled to their own opinions, that's good, but not their own facts, and the opportunity to have a discussion here to answer these questions and bring them out on the table so people can make informed decisions. That's all that we're asking for. And of course, from our perspective, making sure that we do that in a balance, that we take care of what we need for our water supplies, but take care of that environment too. And that's what everyone's goal here is, to balance those things, as Peter just talked about. So thank you for the opportunity to be part of this.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. We'd like to thank our panel members this morning. Of course, Mr. Peter Zanoni, City Manager of the City of Corpus Christi, Steve Ramos, Water Resource Manager for the City of Corpus Christi, Kevin Norton, also Director of Water Utilities with the City of Corpus Christi, Dr. Larry McKinney with the Heart Research Institute for Gulf of Mexico Studies, Jason Cochran with Friesen Nichols, Environmental Engineer. Thank you all for being here. And again, tomorrow, I should say, actually, yes, tomorrow there are some more town hall meetings, virtual town hall meetings that the City of Corpus Christi is conducting. There is one tomorrow evening, 6 to 7:15 p.m. or so, depending on how much discussion is ongoing, as well as one on Monday, October 12th, 6 to 7:15, and Wednesday, October 14th, 6 to 7:15 as well. You can ask questions on Facebook with these upcoming virtual town hall meetings, or you can go on YouTube. You can also call in. And we have the number. It's 361-826-3211. And if someone out there caught the tail end of the entire discussion today, our program has been recorded. We will be replaying this Friday evening at 7 p.m., and you can get all the exact same information you heard or partially heard this morning, as it turns out. And we thank you, gentlemen, for making some time for us and giving us some pertinent information about what is coming our way with the desalination plant, the future. And I apologize to the folks who sent in emails that we could not get to all of them. We definitely would have had to plan for lunch on that one. So we thank you all for sending in these questions and certainly concerns, and we are hoping that all of your questions are answered, maybe not today, but certainly during the other town hall meetings as well. So again, thank you for being here, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Stuart, we have come to the end, and thank you very much for being here. We go back to our regularly scheduled program on KADT and KVRT.